Well, it's always a pleasure to visit with good buddy Stephen Hargis. Does a great job as sports editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Stephen, if I had to ask your favorite Tennessee player of all time, who would it be?
Oh, man. Favorite Tennessee player of all time would put Eric Berry would be up there.
Okay.
Probably Al Wilson.
The greatest Tennessee football player of all time based on his time in Knoxville.
Reggie White.
So you agree. You go with Reggie over Peyton.
I was with you, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you and I talked about that when you were working on the series. But, yeah, I think the quarterback obviously gets a lot more attention just because they're, you know, of the position itself and get, you know, more praise and more, you know, blame heaped on them, win or lose. But, I mean, when you look at what Reggie White did when he was in Knoxville, good God. I mean, imagine I would love to have just for the sake of feeling – that guy straight, just to see what it was like for him to put his hands on you coming out of his position, that would have been something to experience just to see how freaking strong that guy was.
Right.
I mean, you watch the highlights of David, how he just moves 300-pound offensive lineman out of his way with one hand.
Yeah, I remember that opener of his senior year. He played up against Bill Frelick from Pitt, you know, who had a great long career too, and White. Reggie just manhandled him that night. Okay, so either if you go with Reggie over Peyton or Peyton over Reggie, Wells rounds out his Tennessee Rushmore with Bryce Brown and David Okwu.
Don't forget Tarn Pool, okay?
All right.
That's pretty good.
This would have been Spring Fling Week. What have you missed the most about not being up in Murfreesboro?
Walking into the venues, the stadiums, you know, I wrote a little bit about it earlier this week, just how when you would park, you know, pull into the parking lot, get out of your car, and start walking toward the venue, and you would hear the noise, you know, the crowd cheering, the team's chants or, you know, whatever, you know, kind of cheering for each other, the noisemakers. I mean, you just kind of all the things you love about sports, especially high school sports, and just so pure. Walking into the stadiums and just hearing the crowd and, you know, I mean, just the whole experience of it. It's a warm, late spring, early summer day, and you're walking in to watch baseball or softball or, you know, whatever the case may be, and just watching the kids compete. I mean, just the whole aspect of everything about the Spring Fling. You know, you drive from venue to venue, and everyone that you go to, it's just one of those things where you just really appreciate what it is. It's just, you know, the whole thing is just, for a sports fan, just a lot of fun to be a part of. So, you know, really miss getting to watch the kids compete and the dog piles, you know, that happen in baseball after somebody wins a state championship or you know, the celebrations for the softball kids and the crowds at track when you would have somebody that everybody knows is kind of the star of that year, you know, like Lakeisha Jackson used to be, especially the sprint events when there was always kind of a buzz in the crowd when the starting gun would go up and then would go off and everybody would kind of stand to their feet and you'd just hear this audible buzz of people watching, you know, whoever the star of that year's track meet is, kind of blow everybody else away. Just, you know, every bit of it, just all the competition of the different sports is just something that's really special, and I've missed the whole week of it.
If I had to ask a team or an individual that it was just going to be a mere formality, they were going to win a state championship or in some cases another state championship, which are there programs that you really feel for because you're just like that team was on its way or that person was on its way to a state title?
I mean, Baylor baseball had won the last two and had, you know, they're basically their starting nine. They had nine kids who either signed or committed to college scholarships. You kind of really felt like, you know, Colin Ahern and those guys, you wanted to see what they could do in terms of trying to put a three-peat together. Macaulay soccer was nationally ranked. Of course, Baylor softball had won the last six state championship games, beating GPS in each of those. So just that whole rivalry of those, you know, could GPS finally knock them off? And then, you know, the track aspect of it, something I wrote about for tomorrow, Brevin Sims, who's a nationally known track star in the hurdle, you know, he owns the state record in the 100 meters and was going for the 110 meter hurdles and was going for the record in the 300 meters. You know, here's a kid who was in one of the U.S. national events last year in Cuba and brought home a gold medal in the hurdle events. I mean, he was just a formality that he was probably going to win, add to his total of 9 state championships, and probably leave with state records in both events. So, you know, all those kinds of things, you just think, man, you know, that really, you hate it for those seniors, especially, you know, kids like Brevin Sims, who, even though they've accomplished so much, this was going to be a record-setting year probably for him, and he was going to leave with his name in state record books.
You're listening to Stephen Hargis, sports editor of the Chattanooga Times Free Press, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Stephen, as you know, the SEC came out earlier this afternoon saying that voluntary in-person athletic activities can resume on the league's 14 campuses on June 8th under guidelines developed by each institution. Where do we stand with the TSSAA right now on that?
Yeah, just coming out, June 1st, they're going to allow teams to, you know, football teams to begin preseason workouts. In some areas, they're following the CDC guidelines of you know, no more than 10 in a group of kids who are working out in any one station. So, say you have kids in the weight room, it was going to be limited to just 10 of those kids. You know, if you have kids on the track, you know, doing sprints or whatever, it's going to be limited to 10 of those. I'm curious to see the call I've got out now is Governor Lee had said yesterday that he's kind of widening that to 50 now. Instead of 10, you can now have 50 kids. So or people in, you know, a certain area. So I'm checking with TSSAA to see if that's going to also include, I'm assuming it will have to, that now you can have, you know, a coach and 49 kids in one drill or, you know, in the weight room or whatever the case may be. But, you know, a lot of them, the big question is, you have to wipe down the weight equipment after one kid used it. Everything's going to be so much more time consuming, you know, trainers taking temperatures of kids. The kids have been told, you know, bring their own water bottles because they're not going to be, you know, sharing anything in terms of water bottles and towels and things like that. They're not going to be allowed to go into the locker rooms themselves. So there's still some questions, but at least we know June 1st, at a bare minimum, high school football teams are going to be allowed to work out in groups of 10. So, you know, all that sounds like we're at least moving forward toward the season.
And, Stephen, to follow up on that with Governor Lee's deal that came out yesterday or last night or whenever it was, I mean, it's like there are so many, I don't know how many, but, I mean, there's probably a pretty decent amount. When you think of programs like Lookout Valley, Sail Creek, I mean, when you're talking about a gathering of 50, the way it was worded in Governor Lee's announcement, I mean, that's an entire roster of coaching staff and a couple of trainers at some of these schools. So if they can sooner than later go straight to 50, that's an entire team for some.
Yeah, those guys won't skip. They won't miss a beat at all. You know, it'll be the ones with the larger schools, Bradley Central or Cleveland or, you know, the ones like that, Calhoun and Georgia. Because the Georgia Association is going under the same recommendations from the National High School Federation that the TSSAA is going under. So it's the ones who have, you know, if you have 80, 90 kids on your roster, you're going to have to start dividing them up into groups. You know, maybe you do it, you know, the freshmen have a certain time of day that they do it, you know, or the starters and the backups, whatever the case may be, but they're going to have to start breaking them into certain groups for those workouts. But the smaller schools, yeah, they can just go business as usual. If you're allowing 50, that's, you know, hey, that's more that you're allowed than you actually have on your roster for some kids or for some teams.
All right, and you've been all over the high school situation since this pandemic hit and have done multiple fantastic articles on the financial impact and what things could look like without a football season. I'm curious because it's been floated out there. One of the wildest things I've seen from a college football standpoint is the topic of playing 6 games in the fall, and then when COVID comes back, you hit the pause button and then play 6 games in the spring. I mean, of all the scenarios, that's certainly one of the wildest ones that stuck with me. What is one of the wildest scenarios you've heard or proposals that you've heard regarding the TSSAA?
One would be one of our local schools sent a proposal into the TSSAA that they just flip all the normal spring sports, baseball, softball, soccer, track, all those things would be in the fall because most of those are things that are non-contact. And then you would flip and have football in the spring. You know, that's probably one of the more, you know, when you say out there type proposals. you know, that's the one that really probably caught my attention the most. I don't know that it'll gain much traction, but you know, that was one that was at least submitted to the TBLCAA. I've spoken with them kind of off the record if they, you know, their thoughts on that, and there's no plans to do anything like that. You know, they really want to have the football season when it traditionally is played. That they want to make sure they're going to do everything possible to make sure they have the playoffs and the state championships, because they know that the revenue from football pays for pretty much a lot of other minor sports state tournaments, and at some schools even pays for the minor sports to be able to be played. So, you know, football is just a huge it's the kingpin in the South, and it's, you know, just a huge deal that they get this ball moving in the right direction so that the season can be played.
All right, and I know this probably isn't a fair thing to do, and we're not going to hold you to it, but if I put a percentage chance that the Chattanooga area high school football season kicks off as scheduled with fans in the stands, what percentage would you give it?
I better than 50, David, just because I don't think there's any way they would not allow fans in the stands, because as one coach said, you know, back several weeks ago, a month or so ago, high school football is different than, you know, college and pros. You have the TV revenue coming in, the advertising dollars. High school football, you can't play high school football with all the expenses of, you know, reconditioning the equipment and paying for officials and travel and meals and all that stuff, all the expenses in thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, and not have any of the benefit of the gate receipts to help pay for it. You just can't do it. And I think the high school associations know that. So, you know, I definitely think when you see things like, you know, Florida is opening up to allow youth sports to begin back again, and Iowa High School Association has allowed softball and baseball to begin back and going to, you know, bring in fans and things like that. It looks like we're heading in the right direction. So if you ask me to put a percentage, I would say much more than 50% that we're going to have high school football kickoff on time with fans in the stands.
That sounds like sweet music to a whole lot of people. Stephen, thank you so much. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Same to you guys. Have a great weekend.
All righty. Stephen Hargis always does a great job at the Times Free Press, and when he comes on here, 648-1051 is the number. We will revisit the Painter Ready poll question. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.